Forgot to mention, after service, there's snow cones again for the fundraiser for the youth. They got the 5K this weekend, so they're whatever you buy in the snow cones goes with them to the 5K, and it helps them this weekend.
All right, awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, we're getting ready to have Brother Andre come and preach the word to us. So thankful for Brother Andre. I get to talk to Brother Andre probably more than anyone else in the church besides my wife and kids. But I'm thankful for those conversations and encouragement. And you're very, very much a blessing to me, Brother Andre. So thank you so much. Please come and leave what God has given to you tonight.
Thank you, Jesus, Brother Darren. It's been a blessing to me as well. All right, you're already standing, so please turn with me in the Bible to John chapter 9. Verses 40 and 41. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus says, For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then in Psalm 127, verse 1, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain, or the watchman stays awake in vain. And then finally, Matthew chapter 21, verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. My thought for tonight is our common blind spot. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to speak to your people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I ask you to anoint my voice, anoint my words, and touch everyone who is within the sound of my voice, and even those who would hear it after, oh Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to correct, direct, redirect, and just guide our lives, oh Lord Jesus, in your name. Bless this message in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. Tonight I want to talk to you about blind spots. Many times in the gospel, Jesus had to address the blind spots of religious people. Then, as you can see from my opening text, that he warned his disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds that of those religious people, scribes and Pharisees, you shall by no case enter the kingdom of God. That was a stern warning. As we are called children of God, called out of the world, we are the called out believers, we have a warning for the world as well. We have a warning to each other, an obligation to warn each other. So tonight I want to give a warning by way of an object lesson. If any of you have been here before, I talked about the breath of life, and I kind of gave a public announcement for a public address announcement for drowning and preventing drowning. I also gave another one about our day in court, if you should ever have to go in court, if you should ever have to testify in the name of Jesus. And tonight I want to talk about blind spots because it's something that also that's common to us all. Now, when you think of blind spot, you may think of, you know, your blind spot mirrors and who's on the side of you on the highway. But they come in different categories and for different reasons. We have natural blind spots. Every one of us have a natural blind spot. There are things that we can't see even though we have the ability to see. I'm just going to name a couple of them. You can't see your own eye. You have never looked at your eye. Right. Like, I can look at my hand in front of me. Right. I can look at my arm, maybe my elbow, or I can look at my feet, but I have never looked at my own eye. You can't look at the back of your head, your internal organs, or your ears. Those, you have a natural blind spot. You can't see your back. As many of you, and just like me, we need someone to watch our back. Amen? Amen. God bless all the married couples in here. You have a living partner to watch your back. God bless you. Blind spots on the highway. That goes without saying. You have to check your blind spots on the highway all the time. Check those blind spot mirrors. You never know what may be there. Sometimes we may find ourselves in someone's blind spot. We're about to get cut off. And hopefully never run over, but it's because you're in their blind spot. What do you do in that situation? And then there's the personal blind spot, which is one of the ones I want to talk about tonight. The personal blind spot. Now, let's not get confused here. There's a difference between being blind and having a blind spot. Amen? Someone who is blind, they cannot see at all. Someone who has a blind spot, excuse me, is someone who can see, but there's something out of their field of view. There is something they're overlooking. It is something that they have lost sight of. Something that they're overlooking while I'm saying that. I know I've been saved by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Even though I have to look over this every time I come up here, but I know. Yes. It's there. Yes. Be aware of your blind spot and what's in it. Amen? Amen. Well, a funny story about a blind spot was, I have two of them. One, when I first got married, a few years after I had left the Navy, and my oldest daughter was about 5 years old. We're about to go pick up her mother, and she wouldn't get in the car. She's just running around the yard having a good time. Come on, we got to go. We got to go. Come on. She's running around the yard. And then she finally gets in the car, and she starts complaining. What is that smell? Oh, that's nasty. It's just awful. It's nasty. I go to check on her, and she, in the yard that she was running around there, some dogs had been there, and it was just, her shoes were covered in it.
Yeah.
And being as militant as I was in those days, I had a big complaint. Oh, my goodness. So we finally go to pick up her mother, and I'm telling her mother what she did. And her mother is like, she's 5 years old. But she's 5 years old. But I just had my car. She's five. I apparently had a blind spot. I did have a blind spot. Children are children. And that's what they do. Those are the type of things they do. It didn't matter about my car being just detailed. It had just cleaned. That's what children do. And five-year-olds are going to do that. And I'm so thankful now. She has a four-year-old daughter now. And I don't believe if I still had that blind spot, I wouldn't enjoy it and be thankful for my four-year-old daughter now, my four-year-old granddaughter now. Another instance of a personal blind spot I experienced was when I worked at EB. There was this video going around, you know, office to office. I worked for EB. I used to design training programs. And there was this video. It was called the brain test. Any of you ever had it? I'll tell you. I'll describe it for you. It's a man is in like an auditorium and on a stage behind a podium, and he's telling the audience that they're going to be tested. He tells them the parameters of the test. There are going to be 10 children on the stage. Five of them are going to have white shirts on, and five of them are going to have black shirts on, and they're going to have a basketball. Each set of children are going to have a basketball. The children on the white with the white shirts on are going to throw the ball between themselves all around the stage, and the children who had the black shirts on, they were going to throw the ball, their basketball, between them. And the test was to count the number of passes that the children made between themselves. Then he said, now, sometimes when you do this test, sometimes the men do better than the women. It's okay, so I'm all geared up. I'm ready to do it. I played basketball before, and I definitely wanted to get the highest score and be the best one there. And so I'm watching it, and I'm counting. You know, I'm thinking I'm counting assists. I'm counting passes. Yeah. So I get 17. All right? So when the test is over, he says, how many counted the passes? Great. How many got this number? How many got that number? How many got this number? I'm thinking, yeah, I got 17. I did pretty good. I was one of the only ones who got, you know, my number. And then he asked another question. How many saw something bizarre? And a couple of people raised their hand. Then he says, how many people saw a gorilla? And it's a few more people raised their hand. I didn't raise my hand. I didn't see a gorilla. And then he goes, well, watch the video again. And sure enough, while the children were passing the ball between themselves, the white team, the team with the white shirts and the team with the black shirts, they're passing the ball between themselves. A man in a gorilla suit come right in the middle of them, waves at the camera. I thought he was waving at me, and then walks right off the other side. I did not see. At first I thought, no, that wasn't in there the first time. But some people actually witnessed it and saw it. I thought something was wrong with me. I really did. And then he said, don't beat yourself up over that. I kind of set you up when I told you men do better than the women on this one. So that kind of puts you in a certain mindset to concentrate more. And that's why you didn't see it. I had a blind spot. Right. I learned something awesome also about myself that because I had a certain pride. My pride caused me to miss something that was so very obvious. It was right there in front of me. Because I had a certain, I was at a certain mode or mood or focused on a certain thing, wanting to be the best at it, I missed something very important. And those are the type of blind spots I want to talk about. They're in throughout the Bible. If you ever read scripture, you're going to see words like watch, be vigilant, blind, short-sighted. It's different words like that. God doesn't want us to be blindsided. God does not want us to have something in our blind spot that causes us to miss out on Him. Amen? Warnings against neglecting. As early as Genesis, way back in Genesis, we can see that Cain was so angry that he did not see sin that lieth at the door. In Genesis 4, verses 6 and 7, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wrathful or angry? And why is thy countenance falling? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. He was so angry. He couldn't see sin. Some verses say couching at the door, ready to pounce. He couldn't see it. Something so obvious. Anger causes a blind spot there. And also in Judges, when we talk, anybody remembers pastor preaching on Samson? Judges chapter 16, verse 20. Delilah says to him, she said, the Philistines are upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Samson did not know that the Lord had departed from him. His lust, his pride, his attachment to so many vices, as Pastor said, caused him to have a blind spot. That's a sad story for me. That, wow. The strongest men on earth at the time. God gave him that strength. And he had it no more. Suddenly it was gone. How embarrassed did he have to be? How ashamed did he have to be? He had a blind spot and he missed out. And they later on, they gouged his eyes out and had him turned into meal. Yes, at the end of his life, he did have another chance. But the fact that he did not realize his purpose. That his purpose was in his blind spot. Amen? Samuel anointed Saul to be king. And there's another sad story. In 1 Samuel 15:24, Saul came unto Samuel, Saul being the king of Israel. He said, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. And then jumping down to 1 Samuel 15:24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And you just got to ask yourself, am I so preoccupied that I turned a blind eye? Am I so in tune with what the people think that I don't know whether I'm following the Lord's instructions or not? I got a blind spot. There's a blind spot. Please pray for me. Another question is, am I so preoccupied that I turn a blind eye to the preparing and coming of the Lord? Many of you have probably warned someone about him, Jesus coming back. His second coming, sadly, is in the blind spot of a lot of people. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 to 45, then shall he say also to them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me, not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or athirst, and a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then he shall answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of these, to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Another New Testament reference where Peter warns us about being blind and short-sighted, or having a blind spot, even though he has called us into his marvelous light that we may see. Because everything we can see, we only can see because of light. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, hallelujah, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and into your virtue, into virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. Amen. Again, he warns, blind and short-sighted, and has forgotten they have been purged from their former sins. That's talking like he's warning someone who had sight. One is someone who has received a revelation. Amen? Yep. And they forgot that they were forgiven, that they needed forgiveness as well. What causes blind spots? How do we develop a blind spot? Brother Fred preached a couple of months ago, and one of the things he said that he heard from Brother Reed out was that some people are just so out for themselves that they don't realize they're stepping on you in order to get there. What is not a blind spot? I guess the best example of that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of his of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. There's a difference between being blind and having a blind spot. Right now, I want to read off a couple of statements, some self-affirming statements, and just to make you think about it, and maybe some self-inventory questions that may help you to see if you got a blind spot. If you ever had a question in your mind, how do I know I got a blind spot? What's my blind spot here in this Christian walk? What's my blind spot here now that I've come to Jesus? After I've received a revelation of who he is, thank you, Jesus, and I'm glad you did. What's my blind spot now? Here's one. We put so much time and effort into being independent that we push away the one who is the very present help in the time of trouble. Right. That's a blind spot.
Oh, yes.
We tend to spend so much time complaining about the problem that we don't consider that we have a solution. That's a blind spot. We spend so much time working and paying bills that we don't have time to live. That's a blind spot. We spend so much time in front of the TV, gaming console, and our music collection that we turn a blind eye to the joy of the Lord. That's a blind spot. We spend so much time on the field, on the court, in the gym, that we neglect what the body needs. That's a blind spot. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of life, of the life that is not now is, and of that which is to come. Amen. Am I so preoccupied with the people that lie and steal that I've turned a blind eye to the discernment and wisdom that comes from the Lord? That's a blind spot. Famous actor Michael Douglas said in a movie. Anybody ever see the movie The American President? Michael Douglas, he was playing the President of the United States. And one of the statements that he made kind of stuck out to me. He said that I was so busy trying to keep my job, i.e. get reelected, I was so busy trying to keep my job that I forgot to do my job. That's definitely a blind spot. You're looking the wrong way when really something else is going on that's very important. As men, We spend so much time climbing the corporate ladder that only to find out that ladder is leaning against the wrong building. Amen? All right. To put it in military terms, we spend so much of our time, we put our time, blood, sweat, and tears in ascending the chain of command, going up in ranks, only to find out that chain is attached to the wrong ship or to a sinking ship. Amen? That's a blind spot, military style. Yeah. Am I so preoccupied with what people want that I don't seek the will of God for my life? I have a blind spot. Please pray for me. But what do we do about blind spots? To help us answer, I have to use an old analogy. It's a common analogy among speakers and preachers. Life being a highway, the vehicle you're in being the body, and your soul, your spirit being the driver. Okay? If that's the case, then all of us have been in a blind spot, that we must be aware of and have been in a blind spot. We need someone to watch our back, and we need to be careful when we're in someone else's blind spot and they're about to make a mistake. What do? You blow your horn? Or when they do make that mistake and accidentally cut you off, run you over, hit your car, are we ready to forgive? Or do we turn into road rage? Because it works both ways, whether you have a blind spot or are in someone's blind spot. God is still God. He is still who He is. Amen? If that's the case, then the words that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees about being blind, that they make perfect sense now. And also the instructions that Paul gives in the epistles. For example, in 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, as a roaring lion in your blind spot. That's the thing about predators. The predators. They won't get close when they can see your eyes. Because they know you're looking at them. They're going to wait till you look away and get a little bit closer. They're playing on your blind spot. Amen? Resist them firm in your faith. Amen? Another one in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul warns, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Why? Because when you do it, it creates a blind spot. And you're going to need an advocate. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be angry. You can remember this one. Be angry, but sin not. Why? Because it causes a blind spot. That kind of rhymes. Angry, but sin not. You're going to have a blind spot. Something in your blind spot is going to make you miss something or cause you to do or say something to where you're going to need our advocate. Amen? Avoid the blind spot at all costs. Verses in Scripture about watchfulness, being sober-minded, and to be aware are all addressing our common blind spots. So check your mirrors. Check your mirrors for the blind spot. That is a scriptural principle, to check your mirrors. The first one I want to call to your attention is in James. He says, James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if only be a hearing of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in the glass, the looking glass, for he beholdeth himself and forget and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen? Bear one another's burdens, especially when someone is in your blind spot. Another one about the looking glass or checking your mirror is in Exodus, chapter 38, verse 8. And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assemble at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This is in Exodus where God commanded Moses to let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them. And the different pieces of furniture, they brought offerings in order to make those things. The altar, you know about, but also the brazen laver. It was a basin that the priests washed themselves with. But it was made from the looking glasses or mirrors that the women had. Back then, they didn't have the mirrors that we have here, with the, you know, made of actual glass and with the silver paint on the back. They actually had polished brass so shiny that you could see yourself in it. And they donated or offered those for the making of the brazen laver. And that was used that the priest could wash. They could wash what was on them, the blood that was on them. This is a symbolization for baptism as well. But not just of a cleansing of the flesh, but an appeal to God of a good conscience. How many are thankful to be baptized in Jesus' name? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But look at the irony of that. They gave a looking glass, a brass looking glass, to be made into an altar. A brass looking glass that they used for vanity in a previous life, to look at themselves, to give it to make an offering, give it to the making of the brazen laver, this basin that was used to cleanse people, so that someone could see themselves and the sin that they have on them and be washed and repent and be washed. Amen? Because we had to repent before we was baptized in the name of Jesus. So we had to look at ourselves. We had to look at ourselves and say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I hate myself. I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of what's on me. We no longer were blind to what's on us. We wanted to be clean. We wanted to make an appeal to God for a clear conscience. It went from a vanity, a looking glass of vanity, to the glory of God. Yeah. Amen. When a man turns to the Lord. David said, who can understand his errors? In Psalms chapter 19, verse 12, David said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me thou from secret faults. David understood and knew he had his blind spots. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was aware of his blind spot. In summary, one of the best ways in dealing with a blind spot is knowing where they are, to be aware of them. Because again, we all have them. We all are going to be in someone's blind spot. We're all going to have a blind spot. But at least be aware of it. Yeah. Know that it's there, and it is very, very possible. So many times, well, at least one time that I know of, someone came to me and said, I've been in this church longer than anybody. I've been going to this church longer than anybody. And now they're gone. They no longer come back. They had a blind spot that they weren't aware of in their worship. So we continue to pray for them. We continue to pray for someone who you know have a blind spot and they can't see it yet. Ask God to open their eyes, or maybe even use you to maybe tap on your horn a little bit so that they see you, so that they see Jesus through you. Amen. Job, be aware of your blind spots. Brother Darren, Brother Ryan, Brother Tony Gomez, Brother Warren, I believe, and also Brother Greg. You know what all of them have in common? They drive trucks. They drive big trucks. And also our pastor. And when you drive a truck, you have to be a very good car. They're all good drivers, by the way. And when you drive a truck, you have a bigger blind spot than most people. In the front of the truck, some trucks are so high that you can't see someone standing in front of it or in the back of it. And the kindest thing that they do is that when they let you borrow their truck, they let you know, if you're going to borrow my vehicle, there are some things you should know about this car, about this truck. There are some blind spots you need to be aware of that come with driving this truck. Right. Amen? Right. So did Jesus warn us. there's some blind spots would go along with living this life on this path that we're on. Please help one another to see their blind spots if you can. Kindly correct them if you can. If you've been called out of the world, please let them know about their blind spot. Let them know that you've stood in their blind spot once or twice. And this is you tapping your horn so they can see. Amen? Amen. Good. In Job chapter 21, verse 29, in the King James Version, it says, "Have ye not asked them that go by the way, and do ye not know their tokens?" Or in the New King James Version, it says, "Have you not asked those who have traveled the road, and do you not know their signs?" Travel, road, way, tokens, and signs. That sounds like something right out of a driver's manual right there. Somebody's giving travel instructions there. Inquire of those who have traveled the roads. Inquire of those who have been in that way. That's why we need each other. We need each other because of our blind spot. There are things we can't help but not see, that we can't see. I can't help it because I can't see behind me. Please help me. I can't help it. I can't change the former life I came from, the circumstances in which shaped my life growing up in Cleveland. And I may have some tendencies that I'm not aware of. I'm thankful that you helped me. I'm thankful for Brother Joel Fesser. He's a good backseat driver. Please don't get mad at the backseat driver. You know why? The backseat driver gets a bad rap, but that backseat driver can see your blind spot. He can tell you where your blind spot is. All right? Joel Fesser tells me where my blind spot is. He does it. He's not just getting a ride home. He's trying to help me to be a safe driver. If you ride with someone, help them to see their blinds, but that's why you're there. You're in the passenger seat. You're in the back seat. It's not so much you're telling them where to go or how to drive. Please let them know about their blind spot. They will appreciate you. They need it. They thank you. We need each other in the body of Christ. If for nothing else, but to check our blind spots and help each other check our blind spots. I like Brother Gleason's example. We were at district conference. Anybody remember? Brother Gleason, he told a story of a man who was stranded on a desert island. For 10 years, he was on this desert island. And he lit up smoke that he could. He wrote big letters in the sand. Nobody came, so he was there 10 years. And finally, a ship somehow went off course and went by that island somehow. And he saw the ship, and he swam out to that ship. The crew on the ship saw him and pulled him in. And, he's hugging everybody because he hasn't seen people in years. He's shaking everybody's hand, hugging everybody. And then he gets to the captain, and he shakes the captain's hand. And the captain says, You were on that island 10 years? Yes, sir, I was. Did you build those three huts there? Yes, sir, I did. What was the center hut for? He said, that's where I lived. Okay. What was the hut on the right for? He goes, that's where I went to church. He built the hut so he could go to church. Okay. Well, what was that hut on the left for? He goes, that's where I used to go to church. I'm going to keep that story. I like that story. But we need each other. We need each other to help our blind spots. Now, I know you guys wouldn't do that. Not out here on a Wednesday night. But we need each other so much. just to tell me you don't have to go to another church because there, you know, if for nothing else, please tell me that. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I hope you got something for this. Thank you for listening. Could you stand and pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your marvelous light, Jesus, that makes everything visible to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, oh Lord Jesus, who can help me see those things that I cannot. Lord, I thank you for the warnings and the instructions and the admonition that you have given in your word, God, to help us, oh Lord Jesus. I pray that our righteousness that comes from you exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees as you did for your disciples. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask you to help us to be loving and kind when we are in a blind spot of someone, God. Help us, oh Lord Jesus, to be encouraging. Help us, oh Lord Jesus, to upbuild one another in love, oh Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Andre. That is awesome. I was just talking to Brother Phil before the service and telling him there's no plan for you outside of the church, man. Just get in with us and amen and let God use you. Amen. I came up because I want to pray for Pastor, they're actually traveling back. They're on their way back. They're halfway. They're stopping to see his son and everything. And so they'll be in the next day or so, be back in the area. And just pray for Sister Greeley and coming home to kind of an empty house. And I can imagine with that, that we just need to pray God's comfort upon her. Amen. And just keep each other in prayer. Praise the Lord. We do need each other. We do need each other. Amen. If we're going to stick together, it's because we're going to pray together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray right now. Jesus, right now, Lord God, ask you to touch our pastor, Sister Greeley, Lord Jesus, as they travel. Lord, have your hand upon them, Lord Jesus. Please bless them, Lord God, with a swift return, Lord Jesus. Lord God, ask you to please comfort Sister Greeley and Brother Greeley. Lord Jesus, help them to come, Lord, and find joy, Lord Jesus, and come back, Lord, into your house, Lord Jesus. We thank you and praise you, Lord God. We appreciate you, Jesus. Please bless our families, Lord God. And Lord, keep us in your will, Lord Jesus. God, open up our eyes, Lord Jesus. Help us to see, Lord God. Help us to understand, Lord Jesus, what you want to do, God. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, God. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I heard there's snow cones. Amen. Get you something for the road. Amen. And be safe. And we'll see you Sunday. Looking forward to Brother Fred preaching on Sunday. So bring somebody with you. And please keep the Barnes family in prayer. I know it's tough for them to be separated like that for so many months. God bless us. In Jesus' name. Amen.